This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side at the five. Michael Turner.
Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, rush, 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 touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
This is indeed the Fantasy Lowdown on Thursday, October 8th, Patriots.com radio. My name is Brian Lowe, the aforementioned geek or guru. Your choice. Honestly, your choice. I haven't been much of a guru this year, but I'm trying. I'm really trying. We get some emails from people who tell me I'm giving them good advice. I tend to think sometimes that they're just, you know, just humoring me, but hopefully I'm helping you out here in the Fantasy Lowdown.
You haven't helped me.
Haven't helped the 0-4 doctor's medicine. Don't worry, we'll get to that. We will get to that. I'm in three leagues, Jason, and far and away, the one that we're in together, B. Lowe's League, is my best one. I can't even tell you how bad I am and how bad I'm doing in two of the other leagues. But webradio at patriots.com is our email address, as always. We want to hear from you, as always. And get to your thoughts, your questions on who to start, who to sit. Last week, big topic, you know, was it's the first week of bye weeks and more bye weeks this week. And how's that affecting your team? We want to know that. We're going to talk to Jamie Eisenberg, one of the great fantasy football columnists on CBSSports.com. We had him on the show last year, one of our first guests as the show debuted. And we're going to hear from him again. And I've got a few different topics to discuss with him and to discuss with you. So be sure to check us out. Be sure to give us an email, a call, webradio at patriots.com or 508-543-7482. In that B. Lowe's League, if we just take a real quick look, I won by 11 points over the team known as B. Lowe's only emailer. But as we've proven, and I hope as we will continue to prove this year here in the Fantasy Lowdown, I have more than one emailer. Come on. People email me, right? We want to hear from you. We want you to email me. I had some pretty good performances by a few players, but I had maybe the best performance that anyone or any entity had in fantasy football last week, week four of the NFL season. The San Francisco 49ers defense made a late move to pick up the Niners off the waiver wire, and the Niners gave me 39 points. They had three defensive touchdowns in shutting out the St. Louis Rams, the inept St. Louis Rams. So that was huge for me. Had to really cross my fingers in putting Seneca Wallace in at quarterback. Wasn't able to do anything better than that. Wasn't able to swing a deal. I got 18 points out of him, which, hey, I'll take that any day of the week if I have to start him. One thing we will get into with Jamie Eisenberg is one of the guys who, coming into the season, I thought was ready for a breakout year, but has been a disaster. And I have disastrously kept him in the lineup more than I should, and that's Darren McFadden of the Oakland Raiders. 0 points. He had negative yardage in the game, in the actual game for the Raiders, and one big giant goose egg. Fortunately, B-Lo's only emailer had a goose egg of his own, Braylon Edwards, in his final game with the Cleveland Browns. We will definitely get to that topic, the Braylon Edwards trade and how that affects so many different players in the NFL on those two teams, Cleveland and the Jets, as far as that trade what pertains to that trade. A couple of wideouts who had a good game for me. Bernard Berrien with Minnesota, Kenny Britt for Tennessee, and some, you know, mediocre performances. Andre Johnson, Tashard Choice, and I was up against Brett Favre. So to win a game where Brett Favre had such a huge game, that was pretty good for me. So I was happy about that. I'm in a five-way tie, standings-wise, for first place. There are five teams at 3-1. Now I'm in the middle of the pack of those five with my total points. B-Lo's only emailer, which I defeated, is actually number one. And then Doctor's Medicine, and Jason and I will chat. We'll be chatting. There he is. Jason and I will be chatting Doctor's Medicine, the only 0-4 team. Jason, do you want to chime in? Just get it out of the way and talk about how inept your team is right now, or shall we move on with the show? And
that was a disgraceful performance.
Let you gather your thoughts. That was a disgraceful performance. However, not quite as disgraceful as some of your more recent performances.
We gave them the friggin' game.
I don't agree.
Holy crap.
You had 81 points, which, let me see, your 81 points would have beaten 1, 2, 3. You would have beaten three other teams.
It's such, yeah.
Believe it or not, that's improvement, as Jim Mora is telling us. It stunk, but, you know, it could have been worse, Jason. Could have been worse. Now, I know as you're apt to do is make lineup changes and free agency moves during this hour. You're one person who I quote-unquote help here on the Fantasy Lowdown, but let's be honest. You need a lot more help than what I can give you. Predictably, your running back situation was a disaster. LaRon McClain and Chester Taylor is who you started. You got a combined 3 points out of them. I believe Sammy Morris was a guy that you were considering starting. So obviously you would have gotten some more points out of him, but what are you going to do? You got Tom Brady, good game out of him, Reggie Wayne, Santana Moss, but you were up against Jay Cutler, Rashard Mendenhall, Mike Sims Walker. Just wasn't going to be your day, Jason. So enough of that. Enough of that. But we always do hear from some of the players, the other fantasy players in our league. So, like I said, we'll be talking to Jamie Eisenberg in just a few minutes from CBS Sports. And I've been looking at some of what he had to say in some of his columns this week, talking a little bit about Rashard Mendenhall and Jerome Harrison, a couple of up-and-coming running backs in the AFC North who are definitely on, forget about radar screens. I mean, they were on radar screens long ago. They're definitely, if they're on a team and they're probably in the starting lineup right now. So that's definitely something to look at. A couple other guys that he mentions, Sidney Rice, a guy who's on the rise, Justin Fargus, a guy who's on the decline, and then some longer-term guys that we're going to get to, like Muhammad Massacoy, who suddenly, what a 48 hours for him as far as his fantasy value, has a monster game for the Browns the other day. And then when Braylon Edwards is traded, he really becomes, hard to say that he's their number one guy right now on the Browns, but he's definitely up there, definitely in contention. And we'll talk to Jamie about Muhammad Massacoy, certainly. The teams that have a bye this week, if I get my schedule out, where did I put my schedule? Chicago has a bye. New Orleans has a bye. Where's my schedule? Chicago, New Orleans, Green Bay, and San Diego are the teams with byes this week. Looking at the 2000 or the Week 5 schedule here in the NFL. So those are the teams that you have to look at. If you have guys on those teams in your league, you got to make some contingency plans pretty quick. So we're talking, Jay Cutler, Devin Hester, guys like that in Chicago. Obviously, Green Bay, those wideouts, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Aaron Rodgers, a tight end who's on the rise, JerMichael Finley. If he's available in your league, he might be overlooked right now because when people scan the waiver wire pretty quickly, they might see that JerMichael Finley has a bye, so they're probably not going to go after him. New Orleans, what more do we have to say? I mean, that monster passing game and running game and all that. But they've been sort of shut down. That passing game has been shut down. By the way, New Orleans really proving that they are in one of the upper echelon teams in the NFL when they win two straight games by two touchdowns or more, and Drew Brees didn't throw a single touchdown pass in those games. So that's pretty impressive. And San Diego, definitely some fantasy performers there with the running backs, Tomlinson, Sproles, obviously Phillip Rivers, and Antonio Gates. So that's a quick look at the bye weeks and how those are affected, how those affect your fantasy team. I mentioned the Braylon Edwards trade, and let's just get going right there with the Edwards trade and how that affects your team, because it really does affect a lot of different guys. Edwards, Mark Sanchez, Jericho Cotchery with the Jets. It obviously affects Derek Anderson, Muhammad Massacoy, as we mentioned, other guys like Joshua Cribbs, and Brian Robiskie with the Browns. So there's certainly some news there. And that is one of the topics we are going to get to with our guest today, Jamie Eisenberg of CBSSports.com, one of their fantasy football writers. Jamie, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We had you on last year and definitely enjoyed it, and definitely keep tabs with what you're writing about every week. And want to get to one of the big fantasy topics of this week, which is the Braylon Edwards trade, and we've touched on it already today. And a trade like that in the NFL in the middle of the season, it obviously affects Braylon Edwards. It affects so many other guys on both teams, quarterbacks, wide receivers, other pass-catching targets, maybe defenses that these teams are playing. What was your initial fantasy reaction to that trade, and who does it affect most?
Well, I think you got to look at it and think that Braylon Edwards should get a boost. It's almost like the quarterback play is a wash because the way that the Browns have been throwing the ball this year, I think you had to be a little bit encouraged by what we saw from Derek Anderson last week,
yep.
Especially the way that he gets the ball down the field just a little bit more so. than Brady Quinn, so you thought maybe that would help Edwards out a little bit. But the fact that he had no catches last week in a matchup against Cincinnati, which for as much as they've improved this year, it's still the Cincinnati Bengals, and for all that their defense does. You know, you got to be just a little bit concerned about Edwards, because if you look at wide receivers that change teams in the middle of the season, and there's been some recent examples with Roy Williams
right.
last year and Chris Chambers the year before, those guys have struggled. It takes them a while to get accustomed to the new system, to the new quarterback. The one thing that Edwards does have ahead of those guys is a similar system. The Browns were playing a very similar system to what the Jets use. So you have to think that there may be a little bit easier transition there for him. But I think the guys who it benefits the most is the secondary options for the Jets. You
yep.
look at Dustin Keller, he should have more opportunities over the middle of the field. You look at Jericho Cotri, he's also a middle of the field underneath type of receiver. So those guys should get less coverage and less attention. It will help Sanchez because he gets a talented player that will, if anything, just take coverage away and allow those other guys to make plays. And then for the Browns, you know, you talk about a guy that has a chance to step up now. Muhammad Masquai had a great game last week. A lot of it had to do with the extra coverage being in Braylon Edwards' direction. But they saw enough of what he's able to do and the ability that he has that they're willing to give him the chance to be the number one option there. You know, Chancey Stuckey is a Mangini guy, if that means anything or
right.
carries any weight. So, you know, you think maybe he comes in and has a chance to play well. And, you know, the Browns are just going to continue to try and rebuild and bring in guys or use guys that they've drafted. So this isn't one of those big blockbuster type of trades, even though the name Braylon Edwards still carries some value. So fantasy owners, I think, just got to be a little bit careful. I know you think maybe going to the Jets, going to a playoff team, seeing a young quarterback who's played well, you want to get excited about that. But let it play itself out a little bit first and before you jump on putting him in your lineup or even trading for him.
Sure, and on Masakoi, I saw that you had written in one of your columns this week, even before the trade, he's definitely worth owning, certainly in keeper leagues and dynasty formats after his huge game, but you got to figure he's being picked up in a lot of leagues right now. You mentioned the Roy Williams situation from last year, which is a great point. The Dallas wide receiver, which ties us into the Dallas wide receiver situation right now with Tony Romo, sort of a jumbled mess right now. Sam Hurd, Miles Austin getting in there. What is going on with Roy Williams, and can we see one of the other guys, Patrick Creighton's another one, maybe really emerging anytime soon, or are they all kind of in a standstill mode right now?
Well, I think they're in a little bit of a standstill mode for a couple of reasons. One, Roy Williams is dealing with a rib injury,
right.
So if he does not play this week in what should be a great matchup for Tony Romo to have a bounce-back game and for several of these guys to really step up and play like they did in Week 1 against Tampa Bay, Miles Austin should see a boost. Sam Hurd was the guy that came on for Williams last week against the Broncos when he got out of the game. Creighton has really been more of a possession guy. They're not going to rely on him too much. He had the big play against Tampa Bay, but
yeah.
He's just too inconsistent to count on. I'm surprised they're not getting Jason Witten even more involved. It was shocking to see Romo go to Hurd two consecutive plays, third and fourth down, inside the 10-yard line when Champ Bailey's covering Hurd. I was really shocked that Witten wasn't the go-to guy. I would have thrown it to Witten four
sure.
times in a row there just to see if they can get that in the end zone. But, I do think that these guys have the chance to be considered sleepers this week, and Williams has a chance, if he plays, to have a decent game because Kansas City has really little pass rush. They have a weak secondary, and this is really one of those times where if Romo does not get it done, then you have to consider going in a different direction. So if you drafted guys like Joe Flacco, Brett Favre, some of the backup options who've been playing well, Eli Manning, those are the guys you're going to have to start to consider using over Romo if you haven't been doing so already.
Yep, Dallas at Kansas City on the schedule, and I think around here a lot of Patriots fans have been eyeing the Cowboys with their game last week against Denver, and the fact that Romo wasn't really able to get much going, how that might affect the Patriots passing game this week. Let's just ask you right there with the Patriots, as we are here on Patriots.com, web radio at Patriots.com. If you have an email address, we're talking to Jamie Eisenberg of CBSSports.com. The Patriots passing game, it seems like, week in, week out, they're starting to get a little more going. Last week, Brady's pass to Randy Moss for a touchdown was the first touchdown for Patriots wide receiver this year. And now we get news today that it looks like Fred Taylor is going to be maybe dealing with ankle surgery. Who, as you're looking, now that we're out of the first quarter of the season, as we look maybe into the next quarter of the season, which Patriots performers do you most eye as possible breakout guys when we're talking about a Wes Welker, maybe any of the tight ends, or any of these other running backs like Sammy Morris and Lawrence Maroney?
Well, it's funny you mention that because it's almost like it was a frantic who could get to the computer first in our office to pick up Sammy Morris.
Is that right?
When the news broke.
Yeah.
I think Morris showed last week, and it's funny because I actually wrote that in the waiver wire looking at the way that Morris has played the past couple of weeks, and we know how much Bill Belichick loves a guy like Morris because he's so versatile and can do, you know, pretty much anything, special teams offense, catching the ball, running the ball in the red zone. Maroney should get a boost as well. You know, I think both guys will step up and have to pick up the load there. If I have the choice of the two, I would rather have Morris just because of his all-around ability and the trust that Belichick has in him.
Sure.
So he's definitely one of those potential breakout candidates for the rest of the year. You got to hope Welker bounces back to the level that we've seen the last couple of years. Obviously, this knee injury, for whatever it's worth, has been really bothering him and not allowing him to either play or play to the level that we've seen. This week's going to be a tough matchup for them because, you know, the Broncos, I don't think their defense is as good as it's played because of the teams that they played, but their secondary is legit. You know, when you talk about Champ Bailey being healthy, that's going to be a fun matchup to watch and probably not something that Patriots fans are excited about because, you know, Bailey did a good job against Roy Williams last week. It's a similar situation to Darrell Revis where you can put a lockdown corner on one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and he should be able to, if not stop him, limit him. If Elvis Dumervil in this pass rush can get in Brady's face a little bit, he's going to struggle. And, you know, if the running game isn't there, it could be a tough day. I think the Patriots win this game because I don't think Denver's offense is going to be able to outscore the Patriots' offense. But we're talking about a low-scoring game potentially here. But, yeah, this is a game that the Patriots could struggle in if you're looking at it from a fantasy perspective. You know, the one guy I think that you should count on is Welker if he plays because those underneath catches are going to be there all day.
And you mentioned Morris, and another point on that is people do scramble to pick up Sammy Morris right now. Last year against Denver, he got hurt in the game, but in the first half against the Broncos, he ran for over 100 yards and I'm pretty sure a touchdown. So for whatever that's worth, completely different defense right now at Denver, but for whatever that's worth, Morris did have a good game there last year. Sticking with the running back situation, and one of the big topics you had in your column, your waiver wire column, was a couple of running backs who are now emerging in the AFC North, Jerome Harrison with Cleveland and Rashard Mendenhall, who had that monster game the other night for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What more can you add on those two guys, and are they pretty much 100% guys as far as starting caliber in fantasy lineups now?
I think they are for this week. You know, yeah. You're going to have to take them both on a week-by-week basis because they're still the backup options. You know, I think if I'm Cleveland and I'm looking at what my team is going forward for the future, I would probably make Harrison the starter right now just because Lewis at 30 years old and, you know, being more of a plotter and not somebody that they're going to bring back next year, regardless of how this year plays out. Harrison is someone they have to see if they can maybe make him the starter for the future, at least for the next couple of years, especially with James Davis dealing with a shoulder problem, the rookie that they drafted this year. So Harrison's somebody that has, in my opinion, long-term a little bit more value, but Mendenhall's in a similar situation. Parker's entering free agency. He's, you know, they drafted Mendenhall to be in this position to be the starter, but I don't think Pittsburgh will get away from Parker as much as the Browns would get away from Lewis. So I think Mendenhall is a guy that you can use on a week-by-week basis, this week being as much of a dream matchup as you can ask for at Detroit, which we know is not a very good defense overall. So Mendenhall is definitely somebody for this week I would rather have, but Harrison, someone that you can use as a number two or a flex option. You take away the three games that are still on his schedule, one against the Ravens three games in total against the Ravens and Baltimore. I'm sorry, and the Steelers. You know, so it could be one of those scenarios where he has some very good matchups coming up on his schedule, and he's a much more versatile back because of his ability to catch the ball. He has 10 catches over the last 2 weeks. So another guy with a dream matchup this week. You know, I'm actually starting him. I picked him up this week, starting him in a couple of leagues, and you know, I'm very happy with the production I think that he should give you.
Absolutely. We're talking to Jamie Eisenberg from CBSSports.com here on the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio. A couple more minutes with you, Jamie, and definitely read in one of your columns this week your thoughts on Darren McFadden, who I also thought that he was a candidate to have a breakout year and have been thoroughly disappointed because I drafted him in a couple of different leagues and really up until through this week I was considering this has got to be the week, this has got to be the week, and as you point out, his negative rushing total has really made it as though he's unusable, and obviously he's got an injury as well now. How disappointing has he been? One of the more disappointing players to you in fantasy, and are Justin Fargus and Michael Bush guys that fantasy owners can at all rely on going forward?
I think if you're in deep leagues, you know, a 14-team league or maybe a very deep 12-team league where everybody's got good players and a deep roster, you know, you could pick up a guy like Fargus. Bush is probably owned in some of those leagues already.
Yep.
But, you know, if McFadden, with all of his talent and ability, can't get it done with that Raiders offense, I'd be surprised if those other two guys can. Bush probably has a little bit more value than Fargus going forward. But it's funny the way things worked out with McFadden because we were, you know, promoting the wide receiver first and second round picks. If you're picking toward the end of round one and weren't able to get one of those elite running backs, you know, take guys like Andre Johnson, Randy Moss, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, because you know you can pencil those guys in every week and you were hoping for the type of production that they're usually giving you. And then when you come back in round three, round four, the guys you were looking at, McFadden was usually in that group. And you talk about talent usually wins out. I know that's a cliche that's always talked about in every sport. And McFadden has so much talent if you look at the way he played in Arkansas and what he showed at times last year before the toe problems. And so you're expecting year two, a guy that everybody's falling off of as someone you can target with upside, the potential to be a top 15 type of running back. And it just so happened that in this story that I did in the preseason where I tried different draft strategies, I usually ended up with McFadden somewhere in round four, three, four, or five. And so it looked like I was so gung-ho with McFadden that everybody started saying it's my fault that McFadden is terrible. You know, I wish I had that much control over players, and it's not a video game. It's you know, real life, and we're just advising people. But, yeah, McFadden's been a huge disappointment. He's among the biggest ones so far this season. You know, you don't know exactly what point he was hurt, if he was trying to play through this injury for the last couple of weeks or it just happened in the Texans game. But that game was all set up for him to have, you know, a tremendous outing, just as it was a couple weeks ago against Kansas City. He did score a touchdown in that game. But, you know, it just really speaks to the ineptitude of what the Raiders offense is and has become, and I don't see it turning the corner anytime soon, which is why I'm a little hesitant to say get Fargus, get Bush.
Well, I don't think you should have to take any blame for any woes that Darren McFadden owners are having. But as long as you're also not, you know, unless you're getting credit, you should get credit for the ones that you hit on and maybe get blamed for, I don't know.
I don't mind taking heat for you know, promoting a guy and him failing, but it's like
as long as you can get credit where it's due as well.
Yeah, sure.
Real quick, you know, we talked about the Braylon Edwards news, but he wasn't the only big wide receiver news in the NFL yesterday. Michael Crabtree finally signs with San Francisco, eliminating any doubts that he'll, you know, be in the draft again next year. Can Michael Crabtree make an impact for the San Francisco 49ers this year? And is he someone that fantasy owners should make sure they have just in case?
Well, I think if you have the roster spot, if your team is really loaded with your starters and you're not too concerned about injuries or handcuffing guys, or you know, we're just in coming to the second week of byes at this point. But if you've gone through the first week, let's say you're really Eagles heavy from week four, they just had their bye week, or you know, you come through this week and can afford to maybe drop some of the backup guys you've been carrying, and you're looking to pick up somebody maybe down the road who could help you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that gives you some potential to stick a guy like Crabtree on the end of your bench. But you know, you're talking about a rookie wide receiver who we still haven't seen on the field, coming off of a foot problem that kept him, you know, limited through the off-season workouts that he was allowed to attend, and a guy that doesn't know the system at all. So, you know, I just don't know if he's going to jump up all of a sudden and turn into DeSean Jackson or Eddie Royal from a year ago. You're also talking about a team that's very run-heavy in a conservative offense. They're not just going to turn into Texas Tech, where he's going to make plays all over the field and be catching, you know, six, seven, eight passes a game. So, you know, it could be a scenario where by Thanksgiving, by the end of the season, he's really acclimated after a month under his belt of practices and maybe some game action, because he's probably going to be inactive for the first couple of weeks. But this is a team that's going to rely on the tight end. You're seeing Vernon Davis make plays. You know, when Frank Gore goes out and Glenn Coffey all of a sudden gets 25 carries a week, that shows you that, you know, the train's continuing no matter who's on board. So
right.
I think that Crabtree is somebody in those deeper leagues that you can count on as a reserve for later on in the season, or if you're in a shallow league that you have the extra roster spots and you can just wait it out and see what happens. But he'll probably have a game or two, you know, again, starting in the middle to the end of November, where you see a 50 or 60-yard production, you know, maybe finds the end zone. And then you're going to start to say, okay, maybe do I consider starting him at this point?
Gotcha. Final question, looking for a quick answer off the top of your head. As we have the four bye teams this week, Chicago, Green Bay, New Orleans, and San Diego, all four of starting caliber quarterbacks, Jay Cutler, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, who would be your one guy, your one quarterback sleeper for any of our listeners who have a quarterback quandary this week and have 72 hours before they have to make a final decision?
Yeah, you know, a guy who's been terrible is Matt Castle, but great matchup this week. You know, speaking of Patriots radio, you know, Matt Castle, someone that you can count on this week just because of the matchup against Dallas.
Absolutely, that's a great call, and I agree with you. Castle has struggled in the early going with Kansas City, but maybe this is the week for him to get rolling. Jamie Eisenberg from CBSSports.com, many thanks for joining us. Excellent insight, and make sure you check him out on the fantasy pages on CBSSports.com. We'll talk to you again down the road.
I look forward to it. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks, Jamie. Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. We appreciate Jamie joining us for 15 minutes or so. Some excellent insight on the Braylon Edwards news, running backs to look at, and certainly the Patriots-Broncos matchup as well. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We have all kinds of email that we have here. We got a full half hour still here on the show. Let's get to one email quick before we before we go to a break. This is from Cormac, one of our regular emailers from Ireland. Brian, hope you had a good week. One of my fantasy football teams is really driving me bananas. My receiving core at the start of the year was Larry Fitzgerald, Roy Williams, Devin Hester, Braylon Edwards, and Lavernius Coles. Originally, I was quite happy with these guys, but because we play three wide receivers in this league, I've really been suffering as the season has moved on with some poor scores from these guys. I've dropped Lavernius Coles and picked up Pierre Garçon this week. Roy Williams is really the most frustrating of these guys. Is it time to drop him? I could pick up Sidney Rice, Nate Washington, or Derek Mason. I'm hopeful Edwards might start to show some promise with the Jets, and Hester is hard to trust and may be injured. I'll probably go Fitzgerald, Edwards, and Garçon this week, unless you disagree. Thanks, Brian. Cormac from Ireland. Cormac, hey, I got to be honest with you. You know, you got reasonable depth there playing three wide receivers. That's what really hurts you. But you can't sit Larry Fitzgerald. Braylon Edwards, he's going to start this week. They play Miami. He's going to start. And I would say, why not? Why not? You got to figure the way Rex Ryan operates in the Jets, they want to make a splash. Hey, if Mark Sanchez throws Braylon Edwards' direction and it gets picked off a few times, that doesn't hurt you as an Edwards owner as long as he keeps throwing to him and you go for gold. I think that's a good I think you should stick with him. And then starting Pierre Garçon, hey, if someone who's a top two or three target of Peyton Manning, I think you want to start. But as far as Sidney Rice, that's a guy to think about. That is definitely a guy to think about going forward. If you can move someone and pick him up, I would consider doing that. Roy Williams, very frustrating, but he's one of those guys, you can't cut him. You can't cut Roy Williams right now. Although he is hurt, monitor that one. But if you can find a way to bring in Sidney Rice, I'd go ahead and do it. We've got all kinds of emails here in the inbox. Webradio at Patriots.com. We're going to take a break and get right back to all your emails on the other side of the break.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, and the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe, here with you for another 22, 23 minutes or so, and getting deep into your emails. We've got a bunch of them to get to, but first, we're going to go to the phones. Yaya is in Chicago, calling us up here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Yaya, how you doing today?
Pretty good, Brian.
Well, it's good to hear from you. What do we got for you today?
All right, I got a quick question.
Yes.
I got a couple options.
Okay.
Would you either start Michael Bush or Morris or Maroney next week?
Well, whether or not you've heard the news from the Patriots on Fred Taylor, who hasn't been in practice this week, and the reports this afternoon are that he is going to be having surgery. I don't know if you knew that when you're asking this question. Did you know about that news?
Yeah, actually, I did know.
Okay, so Morris, Maroney, and Michael Bush. Well, I mentioned earlier on with Jamie Eisenberg that Morris had a massive game last year against the Broncos. They've got a different defense, a better defense, a different team, and that game was at home. But he's got a little bit of a track record against Denver, and you've got to figure that the coaching staff has a little more confidence in him than Lawrence Maroney in order to take the load. Don't really like the Oakland situation much at all this week, and really at all. But they play the Giants this week. Not a good matchup, really, for any of the Oakland skill position players. I would probably lean toward Sammy Morris among those three.
Okay, cool.
And for a few different reasons. But now, do you have Morris and Maroney on your team, or you're looking to pick up one or the other?
I'm looking to pick up one or the other. Right,
okay,
now.
I would quickly get to Sammy Morris. In fact, don't be wasting any more time on our show. No, I'm kidding about that. certainly appreciate the call, but I would go with Sammy Morris. And at the very least, I'm sure he will be their leading ball carrier. And maybe yards per average, yards per carry isn't all that good, but you got to figure. He's gotten into the end zone this year a couple times, and I bet that happens again on Sunday.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Yaya in Chicago. 508-543-7482 is our number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And we've got a bunch of people who have used that email address in this last hour, so we want to get to them right off the bat. This one from Paul in London, one of our regular listeners. And as he says, my only emailer. I beat him in fantasy this week. Paul, always appreciate hearing from you. Hey, Brian, not much to say this week other than congratulations. Hope to get in the playoffs and play you again. Just a question on running backs in a deep league with 16 teams. Are there any weird free agents I can pick up that will be boom or bust in that position, as right now I only have Tashard Choice as my solo running back with Sproles and Felix Jones as backups, though I have a waiver claim in on Maroney for this week. How do you feel about Morris, Falk, and Green Ellis? Then he goes on to say Lewis Murphy or Edelman or Baker and Watson. And if Tate or Nunn are activated in the next few weeks, what are your feelings on picking them up as sleepers? All right, let's start from the beginning there. Your question on weird free agents at running back, not really sure exactly where you're going with on weird, but I will say this. There are a couple guys, if you look, you know, deeper sleepers maybe. I really liked Liddell Betts going into last week. He had a terrible week, but I'm not sure about Clinton Portis going forward. I'd consider Liddell Betts as a guy who, if anything happens to Portis, or even with Portis still playing, I think Liddell Betts is an interesting guy that you might want to pick up. Ricky Williams is an interesting guy. If you're talking about you're talking about a 16-team league, so you're not talking about our league, and it is pretty deep, Ricky Williams is a guy to think about. And then, you know, guys you mentioned there, Morris, Falk, Green Ellis, I feel most strongly about Morris this week. Falk, you know, Falk hasn't had a real productive year as far as tallying yards or you know, bringing in yards and touchdowns. And you know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, I think, is more of an emergency guy. So I like Morris out of all those guys. Really just look at depth charts. You know, no one really thought that Jerome Harrison would be a guy this year that was going to get much play, but with Jamal Lewis aging and James Davis going on injured reserve, you know, Jerome Harrison becomes a guy that is clearly someone you got to be aware of. Mwelde Moore with Pittsburgh. I mean, Willie Parker's hurt. Last year, Parker and Rashard Mendenhall both went down. You know, a guy like Mwelde Moore could be interesting. So depending on your definition of weird, you know, there's running back is a position where if you take a risk, if you take a chance on someone early, that might really pay dividends. So look deep on depth charts. Lewis Murphy, Edelman, Baker, Watson. Really don't care for any of them as far as fantasy. I really don't. The Patriots guys, you know, Edelman is still, you know, third option at best at wide receiver, but really a deeper option when you include Baker and Watson. But with Baker and Watson, these guys are, you know, once or twice a year, they'll have a really big game. It's so hard to predict which ones those are. There are too many good tight ends in the NFL right now that are being productive fantasy-wise. I don't think you should really be relying on Chris Baker or Benjamin Watson. Lewis Murphy, really, until Jamarcus Russell gets his act together, who on that team, offensive skill position-wise, would you really want to rely on? And then you mentioned Brandon Tate and Terrence Nunn. You know, I mean, if the Patriots do activate either one of them, it would really have to take a lot for us to see any of them really be a factor. You look at wide receivers, rookie wide receivers in the NFL, rarely do they make huge impacts, certainly in the fantasy perspective. Brandon Tate coming off an injury, Terrence Nunn has been a practice squad guy. I really don't think if they get activated, let's say something happens with Joey Galloway, if it doesn't look like it's working out too well here, let's say they decide to make a move there and bring in Tate or Nunn, I just don't see it. I just don't see either one of those. I see Sam Aiken being ahead of both of them on the depth chart, to be honest. Paul, thank you very much, and hey, maybe we will see each other again in the fantasy playoffs. I'll beat you then, too. Don't you worry. I will beat you then. Web radio at Patriots.com.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Thanks, Jason. You got to get that in at least once between 4 and 5 every Thursday, right? At least once. You'll get it in again in the next 16 minutes. I know it. Joshua from California. Joshua Medina from California. Hey, Brian, I'm a new listener and wanted to say I love the show. I need some QB help. I have Brady and Palmer. Who should I sit? Also out of Welker and Jenkins, who should I start? You got to go Brady. You've got to go Brady, let's be honest, most weeks. They're showing more and more signs each week that they're the Patriots passing game is getting on target here. And granted, Denver Broncos are the only team in the NFL to have an above 500 record against the Patriots since 2001. And, you know, Brady has had some struggles. Last year when they beat the Broncos 41-7, obviously that was Matt Castle in there. And then Carson Palmer this week at Baltimore, not a great matchup. Certainly not a great matchup for them, for the Cincinnati offense. I'd go Brady. I would definitely go Brady. And then your question on Welker or Michael Jenkins, you know, give me Welker. We heard Jamie Eisenberg say that he thinks this could be a pretty solid performance for Welker as far as catching passes, you know, underneath. This week, that might be where Tom Brady is looking the most. So I would go Wes Welker over Michael Jenkins. But it's an interesting question there. And Michael Jenkins is, you know, I don't think you should forget about Michael Jenkins by any means. There you go, Josh. Thanks for emailing and thanks for being a new listener. Appreciate the thoughts there. Todd in Jacksonville. We hear from Todd pretty much every week. He's got a couple of stardom, sit-em questions for both of his teams. Team one, standard format. His QBs are Matt Ryan and Matt Schaub. Running back Steve Slayton, Thomas Jones, and Glenn Coffey. Wide receivers Roddy White, DeSean Jackson, Roy Williams, Kevin Walter, and Steve Breston. All right, QB here, he's got Matt Ryan and Matt Schaub. Matt Ryan coming off the bye week, And, you know, Atlanta's going to San Francisco, one of the surprise defenses in the NFL, having just an unbelievable year. And Matt Schaub at Arizona. Arizona, not known for their pass defense. Hard to say I'd sit Matt Ryan, but in this case, I'd probably go Schaub. Take your chances with Schaub. But when in doubt, I guess that Houston offense, definitely going against Arizona, I'd go Schaub. As far as your running back, Steve Slayton, Thomas Jones, Glenn Coffey, give me Slayton, give me Coffey. Slayton, you know, he's had better performances recently. You can't sit him. I definitely don't think you can sit him. Thomas Jones just doesn't excite me, not having the kind of year he had last year. Glenn Coffey definitely, you know, he opened some eyes, obviously, a couple weeks ago, that first time that Frank Gore went down. But I'd start him over as Thomas Jones this week. Wide receivers, Roddy White, DeSean Jackson, Roy Williams, Kevin Walter, and Steve Breston. Definitely give me White. Give me DeSean Jackson with, Donovan McNabb expected to be back. Don't like the Roy Williams this week, and he's also hurt. I think he's going to be questionable. Kevin Walter and Steve Breston, I'd probably lean toward Walter. Same reasons for Schaub. I mean, you're kind of putting all your ducks in one boat there as far as Schaub and Walter. But I like the matchup. Got to like the matchup right there. Team number two, where he starts a couple running backs, a couple wide receivers, and one flex. His QBs are Romo and Campbell. You know, don't love either one of them, but I'd probably lean toward Romo. Really don't like Campbell much at all. They're at Carolina, bad defense. I could see it, but I'd lean toward Campbell. I'd lean toward Romo. Running back, starting two of them. Chris Johnson, which Todd himself says is obvious candidate. No question about that. And then Glenn Coffey, Jonathan Stewart. He asked any sleepers on waiver wire this week that I can drop Mike Bell for. Well, we've talked about Sammy Morris, and that's the news out of the Patriots camp this week, or today, is that Fred Taylor, it looks like he's going to be having surgery. So that's your obvious candidate right there. And then other guys we've mentioned, Jerome Harrison, Rashard Mendenhall, if they happen to still be available, go for them. You know, Donald Brown is another one. I'm sure he's owned. He's probably owned in most leagues. But, you know, splitting carries with Indianapolis, with Joseph Addai, and it seems like the arrow is pointing up on Donald Brown. So I'd think about that. But I'd probably go Johnson and Coffey for those two running backs. Your wide receivers, Ocho Cinco, Bolden, Burleson, Cotchery. Very interesting. We talked about Cotchery early on with the Braylon Edwards move and how that impacts him and other guys sort of on that New York offense. I would go Ocho Cinco and Cincinnati at Baltimore. You know, I said earlier with Palmer, I don't really like the matchup, but you know, Ocho Cinco is still in that category. You got to start him. And Baltimore's pass defense, you know, isn't great. So you got to go there. Anquan Bolden, you know, you start him every week. I don't think you sit him at all. And then between Burleson and Cotchery, I guess Burleson, Cotchery, and Jonathan Stewart for your one flex spot. I'll tell you what, you know, I don't think you can start Cotchery this week. Tough one to call. Tough one to call there. Cotchery, Burleson, Jonathan Stewart. I don't like Stewart. Between Burleson and Cotchery, give me Burleson. Give me Burleson. Give me Favre. Minnesota's where this week? Minnesota is at St. Louis. Give me Burleson. So Ocho Cinco and Bolden for your wideouts, Johnson and Coffey for your running backs, and Nate Burleson as your flex. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. Plowing through some more emails here. This one from Marvin in Kernsville, North Carolina. Okay, B-Low, I got Steve Slayton, Cedric Benson, and Rashard Mendenhall. Which two to start? No question there. Slayton and Mendenhall. Benson's banged up. He's having a good year, better year than a lot of people thought, but Rashard Mendenhall, unbelievable matchup this week against Detroit. And Steve Slayton, I mentioned earlier, going against Arizona, you've got to start Steve Slayton. Receivers, Ocho Cinco, Hines Ward, Steve Smith of the Giants, and DeSean Jackson. He plans to sit Chad Ocho Cinco. What do I think? Well, you know, I've kind of gone both ways here with Chad Ocho Cinco and Carson Palmer. They play Baltimore. Baltimore overall, you know, you're going to Baltimore, tough place to play. Don't love the matchup for Palmer. Don't really love the matchup for Benson. But I think Chad Ocho Cinco is a guy you're still going to want to start. He's still in that elite category, and Carson Palmer does seem to find him the ball. I kind of like Hines Ward this week. Obviously, going against Detroit, that's a good one. For whatever it's worth, that's where they won the Super Bowl. You know, he was Super Bowl MVP. So consider him. Steve Smith, you're going to probably want to sit, especially if Eli Manning doesn't play. If Eli Manning doesn't play, it changes the complete complexion of all those giant wide receivers. And then you got DeSean Jackson. So if you've got to play two of those, You know, I'm probably leaning toward Ocho Cinco and Jackson. Interested what your what you think there, Marvin, as far as Ocho Cinco. I bet you're leaning toward, you must be leaning toward Hines Ward and Jackson. I'd consider sitting Smith right there. He says, great job with the show. Much appreciated, Marvin, very much. And hope we're helping you out there on your questions. Webradio at Patriots.com. This is the Fantasy Lowdown. We got about 10 minutes to go here on the show. And continuing to get to some of your emails here. And this one here is from Strippers. Hey, Strippers. Strippers emails all the shows here, doesn't he, Jason? Always good to hear from him. Real quickly, pick two out of the following three wide receivers. Roddy White against San Francisco, Bernard Berrien against St. Louis, Kevin Walter against Arizona. Earlier, I said Kevin Walter is definitely a guy you're going to want to play, and I still certainly agree with that. I'm not going to shy away from liking Kevin Walter, but I think I like Roddy White and Bernard Berrien better. Roddy White, still to me, he hasn't been great this year, but still in that elite category. You know, still in that elite category, even going up against a very solid San Francisco defense. And Bernard Berrien against St. Louis, you know, he's really one of Favre's best options. And going against the Rams, you know, how can you sit him? Okay, pick three out of these guys. Not very appealing options right here. Thomas Jones against Miami, Julius Jones against Jacksonville, Marshawn Lynch against Cleveland, Michael Turner against San Fran, and Cadillac Williams against Philadelphia. And Strippers makes a note, the latest news is he will get the ball more. Well, that's an interesting one, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. Michael Turner, certainly start him, although he struggled more so on the road than at home last year. But I would definitely keep him in the lineup. You know, Marshawn Lynch, hard to say what to expect. They're going against Cleveland, which is appealing, but you know, I'm not really sure. You know, between him and Fred Jackson, who's going to get the most carries? I'd probably still go Turner, Lynch, and Cadillac Williams because I really don't like either one of the Jones brothers there, Thomas or Julius. Seattle playing against Jacksonville. A couple of quick hits, sit or starts. Kurt Warner against Houston or Eli Manning versus Oakland? Certainly Eli Manning if he's healthy. But if he's not healthy, going into the game, either if he's not healthy or he doesn't play, obviously, I'd probably lean toward Kurt Warner. Houston's pass defense has been decent. Their overall defense, not great. But with Kurt Warner and those weapons that he's got, if Eli Manning is not 100%, you're going to want to consider Warner, but you got to hold off on that one. You definitely have to hold off. The Giants are at home, which means we won't know, you know, if they were playing on the road and Manning was banged up enough that he's definitely not going to play and they don't travel, they'd be announcing that the night before. You're going to have to wait until the game. What are those game times? The Giants have the 1 o'clock, and Arizona, Houston is 4 o'clock. So tough one for you there. You're going to have to know, monitor that Manning situation right up until game time. Tony Gonzalez against San Francisco or Todd Heap against Cincinnati? Definitely Tony Gonzalez. You know, Todd Heap hasn't been doing much. Tony Gonzalez is one of the main targets for Matt Ryan. I definitely like Gonzalez there. And then Nate Burleson against Jacksonville or Bernard Berrien against St. Louis. You know, as I mentioned this, I apologize if I was talking about Nate Burleson earlier and thinking he's still in Minnesota. My bad. I think I got him confused with Berrien earlier. But definitely, if it's between Burleson and Berrien, no question about it, go Berrien against St. Louis. Nate Burleson, even if Matt Hasselbeck plays, which, you know, sort of a muddled situation there with Seattle's quarterback, Seneca Wallace and Matt Hasselbeck, I'd still go with Bernard Berrien. Next question here. This is from Kenneth. Kenneth asks a few questions here. Who would you start this week, Brady against Denver or Flacco against Cincinnati? Come on, you got to still go Brady. You know, the Flacco matchup is pretty good, but you got to go Brady until he proves to you that you really can't start him. You got to go Brady, but Flacco's a decent option as a backup. Which receiver would you go with on the Vikings, Harvin or Rice? Good question. I'm probably going to go Rice. He's found the end zone a few times. Harvin, you know, while he's been dynamic, he's still a rookie. He's still getting time in the return game. I'd probably go Rice. Next one, I dropped Braylon Edwards literally hours before his trade news hit. Actually traded him for Sidney Rice. Is he worth picking back up immediately? Absolutely. You know, if he's available in your waiver wire, if you literally dropped him and he's still available, yeah, pick him up. You know, at the time, a trade for Sidney Rice, yeah, I could see it. I could see it. But, you know, Braylon Edwards is still a very talented wide receiver. If he has his head on straight and doesn't drop a lot of passes, you got to like his chances with the Jets. So if you have a chance to pick him back up, Kenneth, I'd do it. Will Mendenhall overtake Parker with the Steelers, or is Parker worth a bye week replacement? Certainly when you've got a longer, if you're looking longer term in a keeper league, you know, it's all Mendenhall. You know, Parker has had injury problems. He's going to be a free agent. When you ask, is Parker worth a bye week replacement? You know, if he's healthy and you need someone and it's a split, if Parker and Mendenhall are sharing carries and you need someone, yeah, Parker's available. Sure, go for him. But long term, definitely Mendenhall trending upwards if he stays healthy.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Ask Andy Hart, and he'll tell you Mendenhall all the way.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
And then finally from Kenneth Start, two of the following running backs: Brandon Jacobs, Willis McGahee, Jerome Harrison, and no Sean Moreno. Right off the bat, I'm saying Jacobs and Harrison. Jacobs against Oakland, that's a great matchup for him, and certainly especially if Eli Manning isn't playing and they're going to run the ball a lot. I love Jacobs this week. And then Jerome Harrison with Cleveland, as we heard from Jamie Eisenberg, he's definitely a guy to start. Moreno, not sure what to think there. And Willis McGahee, you know, he's good, but, you know, Ray Rice has been getting a lot of carries. Kenneth, thank you very much. More emails here in the inbox, webradio@patriots.com, as we wind down the show here in these final few minutes. This is from Eric. Hey, Brian, now that Fred Taylor is down, is there a valuable Pats running back to pick up that will have any fantasy value? It seems like the Pats are a running by committee team with Maroney, Morris, and Falk. What's your take on this? Well, Eric, Sammy Morris to me is the guy of those three that you'd want to pick up if you can. I agree with you that they're still a running back by committee team, and they've proven that. Fred Taylor had the biggest game by a Patriots running back so far this year a couple weeks ago. Don't really like Maroney too much, although all these guys, their value goes up a little bit, each of them with Fred Taylor being out. Don't really like Falk fantasy-wise. I think Morris is the guy most definitely among those three. If you had to pick one up, and anyone who keeps on telling me Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is an emergency guy. I don't see him getting a lot of time on the field. Wes in Richmond, Virginia asks, who do you start at QB this week? I have Romo and Garrard. Both have good matchups, but Romo has been cold lately. Will Garrard have a letdown game following his performance last week? Keep up the great work on the show. Thank you very much, Wes. David Garrard had an unbelievable week last week. He goes against Seattle. Seattle has a fairly weak, middle-of-the-pack pass defense. Never been overly impressed with Garrard's weapons, but you've got to say he's been doing well. And Romo against Kansas City, I don't know. I mean, Kansas City, not very impressive, but you can't be too happy with his recent performances. I don't know. That's a tough call right there, Wes. That is a tough call. I could see Garrard's not going to have as big of a week. I'd probably lean toward Garrard because Romo has been that unimpressive. But a tough call, and I'm going to lean toward Garrard in that question right there. Our final email of the day here on this show today. This one is from, if it loads up, I'll let you know. webradio@patriots.com is our email address. And again, you can email us any time during the week. We'll get to it the following Thursday. This is from Tobias in Sweden. Hi, Bilo. Do I start Brent Celek or Tony Gonzalez at tight end this week? And who do I sit at running back? Rashard Mendenhall, Steve Slayton, or Thomas Jones? Tobias, if you're lucky enough to have Brent Celek and Tony Gonzalez on your team, boy, if only everybody had those kinds of problems. Greg Rosenthal, I didn't really get to him much this week, but in his goal line stand, his rankings, he's got Gonzalez 3 and Brent Celek 4. That's how good your two tight ends are there. I like Brent Celek slightly more because of the matchup with Tampa Bay, but you can't go wrong. Tony Gonzalez is a consistent. You know he's going to be productive. Brent Celek might have a little more chances this week. Tough call there. I'm going to lean towards Celek. And who do you sit at running back? Rashard Mendenhall, Slayton, or Jones? No question about it. Thomas Jones is the guy you've got to sit. Start Rashard Mendenhall.
Mendenhall
and start
is
Steve
ridiculous.
Slayton. You hear that, Tobias? Mendenhall is ridiculous. Enough said. Boy, we covered a lot of ground here today, Jason. It might be a fantasy lowdown record on emails, maybe not emails over the course of a show, but emails in one 22-minute span. I think that's the time when we came back from break. It was about 4:38 Eastern. We got to a lot of emails there, Jason. Thanks for sending them to us, everybody. Everybody who emailed in, and Yaya from Chicago with a phone call. Again, webradio at patriots.com is our email address. Love getting emails even before the show starts so I can look at them. But, of course, during the show, you know, get to it right off the bat. Patriots Broncos, an interesting fantasy matchup, of course. Our thanks to Jamie Eisenberg from CBSSports.com, who was grateful enough to join us. We were grateful to him, and he provided a lot of insight. And that's the deal. Jason, good luck to you. Get off the schneid. You know, we have enough
this
of a gap.
This is the week.
This is the week.
And then next week is the big one.
You and I?
Versus me.
Oh, boy. Are we going to be previewing that one for sure. Thanks a lot, Jason. This is the Fantasy Lowdown every Thursday from 4 to 5 here on Patriots.com. Have a great fantasy week.